Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, a children's moment from our youth pastor, Justin Livingston, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor, Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m. and in our parking lot for our drive-in service at 11:30 a.m. here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us. It's great to see you all here inside of our sanctuary. Welcome our friends who are joining us on Facebook Live and through our church website as well. It's a great Easter Sunday morning to be together as a family of faith wherever we find ourselves here today. We give thanks and praise for the resurrection and the good news that the tomb is empty, that Christ is alive here in our midst today. As you gather for worship, for those of us here inside of our sanctuary, we hope that you'll take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in. And on the right-hand side, you'll find a little tear-off sheet that says Connect at the very top. So we ask you to tear it off now and fill it out and connect with us by letting us know that you were here with us in church today. On the back side of it, you can check one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about getting involved in the life and work and ministry of our church. You can also jot down prayer concerns or praises that you have. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that are going to be located outside the sanctuary doors following our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us virtually, we're so glad that you have found us here this morning. If you go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org, there you can download a copy of today's worship bulletin. You can follow along with us and certainly reach out to us if there are prayer concerns or praises in your life, things that we can be praying for you wherever you find yourself here this morning. On the back side of your bulletin, you see things that are going on in the life of our church family. It's a great day to be together as a church. We already had a wonderful Easter sunrise service this morning hosted by Bill and Sue Carter out at their home. It was a balmy 35 degrees at 7 a.m. outside on this resurrection morning. It was brisk and there was almost frost on the ground, but the tomb was empty, and so that was all that mattered. And we had a great time. We had like 100 people at sunrise service this morning, and so praise be the Lord for hearty souls being there this morning. We had a great Easter egg hunt during our Sunday school hour right before this service, and so thanks to all the folks who donated candy and eggs, and so we're so thankful for that. It's been a wonderful morning of worship so far. A little note about our worship service today, as it is a special Sunday, during this service there isn't children's church or jump, and so that way our teachers can worship with their families here this morning, but they'll be back next Sunday, but there are activity bags in the very back of the sanctuary and also our family room off to my back left, and so we look forward to worshiping as one church family here today. Next Sunday is our church's Youth Sunday, and so our youth group kids that have been meeting on Sunday night all year long have been planning for and getting ready to lead us in worship next Sunday. They're going to give the sermon during a skit, and they're going to be our elders and deacons and read the scripture, and it should be a great time. So we hope that you will come back with us next Sunday morning for Youth Sunday and worship with our young people as they lead us. It'd be great.
Glory, the King of all glory. done for me.
Your name.
Let us pray. O loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the resurrection and the empty tomb and the cross that speaks inside of our hearts. We pray that you will fill us and bless us in this hour of worship here in the sanctuary, online, at home, at work, wherever we find ourselves. We know the tomb is empty then, and Christ speaks to us. And so fill us and bless us in this hour. In the resurrected one's name we pray. Amen. We invite you to find your seat, and as you're doing so, we invite the young kids of our church to come down forward and meet Pastor Brooke for today's Children's Moment.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? I am so glad to see all of you, some familiar faces and some new friends. I'm so happy you're here with us on Easter. I brought with me an Easter basket, and I have some eggs in here. How many of you have gone on an Easter egg hunt already this year? Most of us. Some of us did just a few minutes ago here at church. Charlie, put your hand up. I know you did, silly. Well, we just do the one at church, but there's also Easter egg hunts all over the place. I've seen them at restaurants, maybe at your own house. Egg hunts are everywhere. Do you like doing egg hunts? Yes. You've hidden them at other people's houses. I love doing egg hunts, too. Now, if you have plastic eggs, lots of times there's candy or maybe a little toy inside of them. Or have you ever decorated real eggs and had to do an egg hunt for those? Yeah. There's all kinds of ways to have an Easter egg hunt. This morning, I brought some eggs with me. I only have three, but I think that three is all I really need, and I want you to help me. We're going to guess. Now, if you were at first service, please don't answer because you already know all the answers. I have this yellow egg. These eggs are going to help us tell the story of Jesus. Does anybody have any guesses? It's clicking just a little bit. Lincoln, what do you think might be in here? Oh, that's a good idea. Jack? A little minifigure of Jesus. Charlie? A statue of Jesus. Lincoln was right. It's a cross. But it's not just any cross. This cross is made out of three nails. So the cross is to remind us... What? Exactly. It reminds us that when Jesus died, he died on the cross. And the three nails remind us that those nails are what held him on the cross. And that is pretty sad, and so sometimes we struggle to think about that part, but thankfully we know that's not the whole story, is it? All right, let's see what my next one is. This one, ooh, maybe an egg inside the egg? Oh, that's a good idea. A toy, maybe? What else? I'm not going to ask you. I know you know the answer. Yeah. Like a statue or something, maybe, Jack? Another cross, maybe, Lincoln? A tomb? Okay, so nobody got it exactly, but it's very similar. Lincoln is really on point today. It's a stone, just like the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. And so we know that the story goes that after Jesus died on the cross, he was put in a tomb. And a stone, a lot bigger and a lot heavier than this one, was rolled in front of it. It was almost like the door to the tomb, but it was a big, big rock so that nobody could get in and nobody could get out. All right, I have one more. Let's see. It's very quiet. Very quiet. Do you have an idea? Nothing. I don't know. Nothing might not be very fun in an egg. Maybe it's fluffy. That's a good idea. Do you have an idea? Maybe a little stuffed animal? Well, Lydia was right. It's empty. It's empty. I should have just had Lincoln do the whole thing today. He knows it all. It's empty because it's empty like the tomb, right? And so even though if we got an empty egg in real egg hunts, we'd be sad because that would mean we're missing candy or something like that. But this one is empty because the tomb was empty that Easter morning. And when the ladies went to take care of Jesus' body, they got there and the tomb was empty because he lived again, right? And so even though the beginning of the story is sad with the cross and the nails, We're so thankful that the tomb was empty, just like this egg was empty. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for the story of Jesus, for his whole life and ministry, all of his healings and the love that he shared. We thank you for his death that he gave very willingly for all of us and the love that he had for us in his heart. We thank you for the empty tomb this Easter morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may go back and sit with your families.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
As we come together into a time of prayer today, we each bring with us prayer concerns, people in our lives, or situations that we want to give over to God. We do mention it too, specifically in the church family. Today we pray for the family of Ross Hartman. Ross passed away this past week, and so we hold his family in our prayers today and moving forward. We also pray for the family of Andrew Smith. He is the grandson of church member Wanda Smith, and so we keep their family in our prayers as well. Let us go before God in prayer, bringing all of our joys and all of our prayer needs to him. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, what a day to be in the house of the Lord. We celebrate today the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, and we give you all glory and honor for this miracle. We give thanks that we have gathered here together today and that we have such a Savior to worship. Like those women who first arrived at the empty tomb, we bow on this Easter day in awe and amazement. But we confess that sometimes in our journey we are like the disciples who received the message from the women. When they heard the story, they did not believe it. Like them, we sometimes have difficulty embracing new truth and new realities. When the new comes, we persist in living in the old. Lead us to embrace the living Lord who goes before us into the streets and places of our lives, even as he went before the disciples to Galilee. Be our companion on our journey now. Our own life stories are filled with ups and downs, celebration and concern. Our lives ebb and flow with good news and hardship, and we would struggle to get through those challenges of life without your guidance and protection. We pray that you would hear our concerns and care for those in our lives who are in need. We pray for those in need of healing, whether physical healing or otherwise. Heal those who need it, Lord. We pray that your love would be made real for those who struggle to sense it. We pray for the lonely, the heartbroken, and those who struggle and grasp for hope. Oh God, you are our ultimate healer, and we pray that you would be with all who need you. Bring peace where there is hostility and chaos. Strengthen and secure us as we live in a world of conflict. Strengthen our resolve when we face temptation. Help us to make choices to live with hope in our hearts. May we always remember Jesus' assertion that he has overcome the world. Lead us in living confidently in the hope and promises of Jesus Christ. We lift up our prayers today in his name, in the name of the one who defeated death and lived again. And we lift our prayers together, praying the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna,
Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the disciples. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Say it with me now. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Once more, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This is the good news. This is the good news that we proclaim, that we hear, that we feel, and since that we live out today, that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's the good news for us, of course, because even though Jesus was betrayed by the very ones that he called and named and brought in as his own, even though he was sentenced to die in the worst possible way, made to carry his own cross, put on that cross, laid in that tomb for 3 whole days, that was not the end of the story back then, and it's not the end of the story for us. Here today we can celebrate with all that we have that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. You see, those authorities tried to keep Jesus down. They thought they could shut him out in the movement and put a lid on his love, but they were mistaken. It was just the beginning. They had forgotten. Maybe they weren't with us here on that Christmas Eve. Maybe they didn't hear the good news that the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is the one who came to show us the way on how to live, to teach us what God is like. He was the one who came to welcome the outcast and heal the broken and lift those who have been beaten down and welcome in all of God's children. He came to be the way, the truth, and the life, and to welcome us home no matter how long we have been away. I thought they could keep a lid on God's love, but they were mistaken. I mean, you heard the story, right? I mean, maybe you have heard this story before. 2 women who have been following Jesus all those years, went to the tomb early in the morning on the first day of the week. The Bible doesn't say, but maybe it was 34 degrees on that Easter morning there on their house as well, like it was here at our house this morning. They go and they're expecting to find the tomb locked up tight. After all, last time they saw Jesus was back on Friday. He was hanging there on a cross, left to die. But when they arrived, in the way that the gospel writer Luke tells the story, it's not just one angel there at the temple, but there are two. Two for the price of one. Buy one, get one free angels on that day. And so when they arrive, the women see these angels in the tomb. The stone was gone and their faces were like, what in the world has just happened? I mean, there are certain things that you can count on in life, right? I mean, death and taxes. Tomorrow's tax day, and so we know that's coming, and we trust that when our loved ones die, they are, in fact, really dead. Unless we're living out like Days of Our Lives, a General Hospital, some kind of soap opera, the dead usually stay dead in our lives. But these two angels give us a different story. That he's risen. He's not there. Death is not the last word in the story of Jesus Christ. The tomb is, in fact, empty. And so we heard the story. When the women heard this good news, they became the first preachers of the gospel. They went and told all the rest of the disciples. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. And they go and they tell this to the apostles. And Luke says that when the apostles hear this, they could not believe it. In fact, his line from the Bible that we heard is fantastic. He says that their words seem like utter nonsense. Sometimes us guys have a hard time believing what the women in our lives tell us to be true. And so they had to go and see it for themselves. And it was amazing. It's the Easter message. It's the gospel message for us and the world that death is not the end of the story. And nothing can keep us down. But did you notice something in the story? Did you notice the question that the angels have for those women? I mean, maybe you didn't hear it. I mean, maybe you're still warming up from being outside in that 34 degrees this morning. Maybe you didn't hear it because of the joy and majesty of this day. I mean, maybe you missed this part of the story. It's like the kids who live in our house, if they're watching a show or they're playing a game on the Switch or the iPad, and we ask them what they want for lunch. Do they want a sandwich or a hot dog? And they kind of shout out some random kind of answer. And when they get to the table and whenever lunch is called, the look on their face is like, who ordered this meal? It was certainly not I. It's like that sometimes. Maybe they weren't listening. Maybe we weren't listening to the story. Sometimes we hear, but we don't listen, which is a whole different sermon for a different day at a different time, right? I mean, they were so overwhelmed by the news. I mean, maybe we missed the question. The angels looked at them and said, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living here in the cemetery? You see, we hear the Easter proclamation and we believe and know that the tomb is empty. But sometimes in our lives, we spend so much time focusing on those things that are dead instead of looking for things that give us life. Sometimes we miss the good news of the story. The angels say, why are you looking for living among death? I mean, how many times do we know that God loves us just as we are? Like that old school hymn, just as I am, with all of our faults and our warts and our issues and mistakes, God loves us and blesses us. Jesus calls us by name and calls us to follow just as we are. We know that we don't have to make ourselves worthy to receive God's love. By God's love, we are already worthy. We know that, and we've heard it before, but still we get stuck in a cycle of negative thoughts and words and deeds. And how many times have we all replayed times when we have messed up in life? Mistakes that we've made of things that have occurred decades before. How many times do we live in the shadows of life instead of allowing the light of God to shine upon us? I mean, we've even mentioned it before. If we're doing great in life and work and we get like 99 comments about how amazing we are and talented we are, we get all these showers of praise upon us. But if we get one negative word in our life, don't we know that is the one that we hang on to? That's the one that we stew over and keeps us up at night. If we could have only done better for this one, we tell ourselves, then everyone would love us just as we are. We could even drive around town and look back to see how things used to be and wish they were rosy and beautiful again, even if they weren't rosy and beautiful back then. We can look back and instead of seeing with appreciation and joy for all that God has done, we tell ourselves if we were smarter, we could have had a different job. Or if we had more money, we could have traveled more. If we could have been somebody else, we could have done something else. I mean, we all play that game. Like Jesus in the wilderness, we're tempted and tried in every single way. We see our lives and sometimes we see all that is wrong. But when we get duped into thinking that way, we forget the resurrection story. Those authorities tried to control Jesus and box in God's love and who it was for. They tried him and they tested him and they left him to die hanging on the cross. But nothing could keep God's love down. In fact, it was years later. Years after the resurrection, when the word began to spread and the Apostle Paul started writing letters telling people about Jesus Christ, after his life was changed, he wrote to his friends in the church in Rome about how amazing this life-changing Easter message is. He even said, "Who will separate us from the love of Jesus Christ?" He made this huge list. What can separate us? Hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? He says, no. He says, despite these things, we are more than conquerors through all of this because of God who loves us. And so he says that he's convinced that nothing can separate us. Not death or life or angels or rulers. Things present nor things to come, no power, no height, nor depth. Nothing else in all of God's creation can separate us from Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty for us now and always. No need to look among the living to find some those things that are dead. He is not here. He blesses us and he changes our lives. There is good news to proclaim. The resurrection happened way back more than two centuries ago, and we're still feeling the effects here and now. And the tomb is empty, and Christ is alive, and his love covers us just as we are and shapes us into more faithful people. All because Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. It's because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen, you see. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Oh, loving God, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, the one that you sent into the world to embody your life and your love, to offer us grace and forgiveness and to show us the way. We know that it's in your hands that we live our lives, that you are the ones who call us by name. And so here on this resurrection day, O God, when the tomb is empty and Christ is still alive here among us, we pray that his spirit may move upon us once again, that his love will fill us and bless us, that we can still see your spirit moving around us and all those that we share life with. Bless us and fill us, O God. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Even as we gather in this place to celebrate Christ's victory over death, we also take a moment to remember what happened just days before that. And we do this because Jesus said, whenever you gather, do this in remembrance of me. And so we do this each and every time we worship. We gather here to remember the depth and the breadth of Christ's love for us. We remember that just days before his resurrection, his triumph, he had gathered with his disciples. They were celebrating the Passover. And while they were eating dinner, he took a loaf of bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He passed it among them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body for you." He also took a cup which was filled with wine, and he passed it among them. He said, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this in remembrance of me." It is for these gifts of bread and cup, the gift of Christ's body and blood, that we now lift up our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray.
Dear Lord, we have seen the miracles of your birth and ministry, but we ran away at your death. But your greatest miracle we are invited to see is the empty tomb. You conquered death and live in our hearts forever. Thank you for this bread and cup representing your body and blood given for us. Thank you for your eternal love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.